Hello, you're listening to episode 199 of the C to Z of Movies. My name's Colin, I'm the C, joining me is Zijan the Z. Hello, Zijan.
Hey, Colin, happy new year, happy 2024, or oh, the wrong year yet, it's still in the year of the rabbit.
Okay. Well, happy 2024 to you as well, and happy tail end of the rabbit.
Yes.
it's exciting for me because I live at number 23, and 2024 is a multiple of 23. That's pretty great.
Good. Okay.
And last year was the year 23, so it's a great run for those of us who live at 23.
Well done.
pretty exciting stuff. Did you get up to much for New Year's, or are you waiting for Chinese New Year for your celebration?
Yeah. Well, not much. Pretty much stayed home. I watched fireworks on the TV, but I didn't. I just fell asleep.
Okay. Fair enough. Getting old. I watched some fireworks on the TV.
You stayed up till midnight.
I did, mate. I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's some dedication for our ages.
Yeah. Every New Year's, me and a few friends play some board games and then watch the fireworks and then go to bed.
Ah, very nice. What board games do you play?
What do we play? We played a game called Taco...
Takinoko, the panda game.
Taco Puck Maple Syrup Canoe, which is a version of like Taco Pizza Cheese something.
It's a
card game with Snap type stuff. I played a London Underground game, which was very good. Mm-hmm. We did a little bit of kind of clay modeling, a bit like Rapido, a bit of light relief. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think I lost most games, but still. Great times. Do you know what we're doing today, Zija?
What are we doing today? I'm not doing anything today.
You're not doing anything?
No, I'm not. Today is the best podcast day every year where you talk throughout the entire main segment, and I just like, yep, cool.
This makes me worry that you haven't got your 2024 preview ready.
What?
Oh, man.
No, this is your Cordy's one.
Yeah, we do both of them.
Oh, okay.
We'll figure it out. This is our classic look back at 2023, look forward to 2024 episode. Cordy's is something else. Never, don't worry about that, anyone. It's the Seed of Dead Awards, but also it's looking forward to 2024, which might be brief if only one of us is prepared.
You can tell me what films are coming out. I can give you my opinion on them. It's the same thing.
Fantastic. We're also doing a look back on Oscar at the film Winged. We got a quiz very self-indulgently on the first ever C to Z episode. And much,
much more.
We start, as we always do, with movie news. Zijan, what's been going on in the world of movies whilst it's between Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, it's the worst time for film news, right? That's the thing. I mean... To the surprise of no one, Jonathan Majors has been fired from Marvel.
Yep. So for anyone who doesn't know, he was playing Kang, in fact playing lots of different variants of Kang. So far, we'd had Kang in Ant-Man 3. There was a Kang, or two different Kangs in the Loki TV series, and in the post-credits drama, we saw lots of other Kangs as well.
Yeah, he was lined up to be the big bad for at least one of the upcoming Avengers movies, which is titled Avengers the Kang Dynasty.
Mm.
And now he's not there anymore. So,
yeah. And I think he's been fired because he was found guilty of domestic abuse, I think, or something similar. Also, I mean, leaving that into one side, it seems that Kang, the character, hadn't been kind of really broken through to audience as much. I don't think there's a lot of excitement for that. So there's a question of what do they do for the big bad? We've talked about this before a little bit, but Doctor Doom is being suggested. A few other characters. One of the things that's been suggested, which actually I think is my favourite option, one of the options I saw was bring back an evil version of Iron Man. But I'm not sure that's the way to go. I quite like the idea of a kind of a team up of all the previous villains, which I know we talked about. I think we did an episode, didn't we, before on that. But I think that would be rather than like introducing Doctor Doom or something. It's like, right, well, he's basically just the new really bad guy, and we're going to rush to this. I think, well, we've seen these people before. Maybe we don't have a huge affection for them, but it'd be nice to kind of it makes sense for them to team up maybe with a new character as the leader. He's brought them all together. Where do you think they'll go?
That sounds like where the Thunderbolts is going. Well,
yeah, I mean, the Thunderbolts seems to be kind of almost
like Suicide Squad, like anti-heroes.
Yeah, because you look at them, I mean, like Ghost was the villain in Ant-Man 3, but was kind of like you're supposed to feel sorry for Iron Man 3, Iron Man 2. And Red Guardian was never really a villain. Florence Pugh, whoever her character was called, Yelena, was kind of a villain, but not really. The John, what's his name, the new Captain America, is not a fine fantasy hero. So, yeah, it's not like they're teaming together Hela and Whiplash and whatever else.
Oh, good old Whiplash.
The classic Hela Whiplash combo.
We all love Whiplash.
I wouldn't mind seeing Whiplash. I think they're definitely, because they are bringing back Justin Hammer, aren't they, for Captain America Brave New World. I think he's coming for that.
And Mickey Rourke isn't doing anything much right now, is he? So,
not that I can think of, no.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Weirdly, my laptop has the background on my laptop is just a slideshow of shots from all my DVDs. And at the moment, Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler is the background. So.
That is still a very good film, though. I really enjoyed The Wrestler, but that was a long time ago as well.
Do you want to hear some other superhero movie rumors?
You see, this is how far we've sunk. This is why this is the penultimate episode of the To See or Not to Zat.
Yep, scraping the barrel here. So The Batman, I think, was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. Batman 2 is in the works. Rumors are that they're going to be introducing Dick Grayson, which is Robin, but also that they might be bringing in Hush. Which I think was, again, this is just rumors, though, who knows, but there was a reference to Hush in the previous one. I think someone had Hush written on them when they were being kidnapped or something.
Yep.
I've read the Hush comic.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I have the comic as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad, but spoilers for Hush. Spoilers here in case you're worried about this. Certainly in that iteration, there is the whole thing like, oh, who is Hush? It could be anyone. It could be a much-loved character you've known for years. And like, yeah, it could be. Or it could be that guy who just showed up.
Yep, their random best friend that we've not known.
Yeah, that was him. I mean, it's a good, other than that reveal, it was a really great series. So that's possible. I mean, I think if they do go that way, they probably wouldn't feel they had to make that person Hush. I think they'd feel they could make her if they like Hush as a twist. What do you think about Dick Grayson, though?
So this is the Robert Pattinson Batman, right?
That's right, yeah.
So Dick Grayson would be Robin, I imagine, not Nightwing yet.
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
From based on that alone. I mean, the film series have tried to bring Robin into it with various degrees of success.
Not very hard. They've not tried very hard.
Yeah, well, remember Chris O'Donnell joined.
I do. Yeah.
Batman and Robin, and we also have Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Who was supposed to be the Robin, well, he had a nickname called Robin somehow.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's kind of a throwaway thing at the end. I don't think it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do understand why you want to have this kind of surrogate son for the Batman character. It gives more humanity to that. So, I do see the point of having a Robin. Although not sure whether I want Dick Grayson to be in there because he may be quite young in it.
Yeah. And also Ben Affleck's Batman, we didn't see the Robin, but we saw kind of the Robin suit, which I think was generally assumed to be Jason Todd, Robin, Dick Grayson. I think if they do bring in Robin, they will properly go teenager, like 14, 15, rather than Chris O'Donnell, who was like 28 or something when he was playing the Boy Wonder.
Because you know who I think would be a good Hush? Jason Todd.
Okay, yes. That's. But you feel like you can't do that for a while, can you?
No, because, I mean, we know in the comics, Jason Todd is the only Robin who died. Kind of. I say kind of because he was resurrected recently and he became a vigilante of sorts, a very violent one as well. Okay. So he could be replaced to do that as well. But, I mean, it's a bit too late now. They could probably do that with the Ben Affleck Batman, because that one, the Tim Drake definitely died because we saw the suit in the...
Oh, was it Tim Drake, not Jason Todd? Was it?
No, it's Jason Todd, sorry. Sorry, I got it wrong.
So many Robins.
So many Robins.
But, I mean, Robin Pattinson is very young Batman to have a Robin.
Yeah.
I don't know how old Robin Pattinson is, but he's probably 37? I don't know.
I mean, he's only started doing it, right?
Is he younger or older than us? That's the question. How old is Robert?
Older than us.
Pattinson. He is 37. I am.
Dude. Oh.
So I mean, that's not, maybe you can, maybe that's not too odd. But is, I thought this next one was going to, there was kind of rumors again that it was going to be more focusing on Catwoman as well, which I mean, first one had a lot of Catwoman in, well, at the start and the end, and then kind of not in the middle. But, yeah, I think it's early for Dick Grayson.
I feel like people, when they talk about Batman, they just feel like they need to introduce the same old characters over and over again because it wouldn't be a Batman film otherwise.
Yeah. And then we are getting a proper Batman and Robin. Well, that's Damian Wayne. Not Damian Wayne's. Some. Is it? What Robin are they bringing in the DCU? That's his. That's his son, isn't it?
Yeah, Damian.
Damian. Yeah. I don't know where Damian Wayne's came from. Damian Bruce. Damian Wayne. That's what I'm saying. There we go.
Yeah. Got that's what you've been saying the whole time. Yeah.
Well, I was saying Damian Wayne's, who is a comedian. Anyway. So maybe they won't bother pushing Robin in this one as well.
No other news. Ryan Reynolds and Sean Levy will reunite again for a new heist movie. If they've not, if you've seen that before, you're going to see them again multiple times.
I'm pretty sure we did this last time. Did we not?
I feel like it as well. Did we? Maybe. Okay, so. next movie.
I could be wrong.
Next movie news. Next movie Christopher news. Landon is no longer directing Scream 7.
You can't blame the boy.
I mean, he's lost the two main stars of Scream 6.
Yes, and the main star of Screams 1 to 5.
Yep.
It's all a complete shambles, isn't it? So you can't blame him for ducking out, hoping someone else has a better chance. Did he direct the Scream 6?
No, I don't think he did. Okay. I think he did some other horror films.
Fine. Nothing more to say on that, wasn't there? Ben Stiller apparently is going to star in a film called Nutcrackers, which is about a guy looking after his nephews, being directed by David Gordon Green. Weirdly, the entire plot seems to have been given away already. It's one of these kind of classic, at first he can't look after them, and shenanigans happen, and then he learns to love the childlike ways or something. Hmm. It feels quite forgettable already.
It does. And I'm out of news.
I've got more rumors. Apparently, there's another rumor that Die Hard is going to get a prequel. They were pushing this quite a lot a few years ago. It remains a terrible idea. I can see why it's a IP and they think, fine, let's push something that people know already. But the whole point of Die Hard is that he had never been in anything like that kind of situation before.
Yep.
So if you do a prequel, he's just a regular beat cop. Otherwise, Season, I bring you exciting news that Mickey Mouse is now out of copyright as of the day of recording, 1st of January 2024.
Yeah, I saw that.
What do you want to do with Mickey Mouse? Shall we cash in, is what I'm saying.
I'm not sure what we can do to cash in on Mickey Mouse that Disney already hasn't done.
In fairness, they've not used Mickey Mouse in anything like on film or TV or something for ages. I mean, I know he's huge at the theme parks and stuff in costume or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, when was the last time they made a Mickey Mouse film?
Definitely not a film, but I'm sure on Disney Plus you must have lots of like with a Mouse House and things like that that still licenses Mickey Mouse. So, yeah.
What I'm saying is we can make our own and become millionaires.
Okay. All right. That's the next goal then. It just came to my attention, right, that this is our last ever news section.
It is our last ever news section. We finished on that. Wow.
Well, it's better than some of the other things we went to the news section with.
That's true. That's
especially
true.
Coming from you, Colin. Like, look, it's a Jenga news again. Hey!
I don't think I've ever announced Jenga news. I've longed for Jenga news, but it's never happened. Well, there you go. That's the last ever piece of news we've told you, listeners. You're no longer going to be informed by us.
Yeah, we're going to be millionaires. That's a big last.
Yeah, our last, this time next year. We move on then to our last ever To See or Not To Zed.
Yeah.
Which is the segment where we tell you, the listeners, what you should see or not Zed based on what we've recently seen. Well, I messed that up. Oh, well. I'll never have to do it again.
No, exactly. It can only happen at this time, man. Yeah. There's no harm in it.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what the film I was going to talk about was, so hopefully I'll remember it whilst you're talking about yours. Yeah.
What if I say I don't have any? I've seen something. I saw Chicken Run, The Dawn of the Nugget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. So you know, I know that I love Aardman Productions.
Mm.
So this is a sequel to Chicken Run, which was done in the year 2000. It's crazy how good long Lord, it was.
Really? Wow.
I know, right? So as you can expect, Mel Gibson isn't back to voice Rocky anymore.
No, he's out.
Yep, and now he's replaced by Zachary Levi.
Shazam Zone.
Mm-hmm. Joining him is Tandy Newton.
I think we call her Tandaway now.
Oh, is it? Tandaway, yeah. Newton, Bella Ramsey, Ramesh Raghunathan, Imelda Staunton, and many, many more.
I cast of thousands.
Mm-hmm. Thousands of chickens.
Yep. I saw this as well.
Yeah, and for those who do not know, this is a sequel to Chicken Run, where Rocky and Ginger, two chickens, escaped the farm and escaped from turning into a pie. And in this film, they lead a rescue mission to save their daughter, who has been abducted by a highly advanced poultry farm run by their old enemy, Mrs. Tweedy.
That's a bit, where were you on The Last Chicken Run? Is that one of your faves, or is that
Yeah, I enjoyed The Last Chicken Run a lot. I think it's very, very funny. It's very, I mean, and I love the animation, as you know. I think it's really, really good. This one, I wish it didn't lean too much into the sci-fi kind of things.
All right.
My opinion, like the whole mind controlling chickens and the whole
the
duck with laser robotic ducks with laser stuff. It kind of, it's like, like in the old one, it was very
the talking rustic. Chickens you're okay with, but that's
yeah. I mean, that's a step too far, of course.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, I we watched this one as a family when I was back at my folks for Christmas, and yeah, it was good fun. I had a fun time. My brother is a vegetarian and kind of gave us all knowing glances as the chickens were saying how terrible it was to be killed and eaten.
Oh, it's fine. I watch it while eating chicken nuggets. So
well done. Yeah, I don't know. The first Chicken Run I thought was all right. I'm not a huge fan. I was all right, and this one likewise had a good time.
I think it's a serviceable sequel.
Yeah, you think for over 23 years they might have come up with something a bit better, but
yeah, that's the thing, right?
It was fine, wasn't it? I think perfect kind of family Christmas movie. Sit down, don't think too much. We also watched Leave the World Behind, which is also on Netflix. It stars Julia Roberts and Mahershala Ali. So Julia Roberts and her husband, Ethan Hawke, I don't think they use the phrase Airbnb, but basically they rent out a really impressive, like massive house, just sort of kind of as a whim. And then whilst they're there, Mahershala Ali and his daughter turn up and say their car had just broken down or something, and this is their house. Can they stay there, please? Overnight, because they've got nowhere else to go. And I don't know how much this spoilers or not, because I haven't seen the trailer, so I don't know how much is given away. And I think it's probably good to go into it without knowing much more than that.
But okay.
Various things happen that shake their world a bit.
From the premise alone, it doesn't sound like something you would watch.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think from the way I've described it there, which is also how I saw it described in Netflix, I think very similar to that, it sounds kind of like a kind of a horror cabin or knock at the cabin kind of thing where you just turn up. And it isn't really like that. It kind of where it goes is much more what the film is about, so it takes a bit of a sharp turn, and it kind of feels spooky and scary because of the music more than anything else. Like the music is really pushing very hard at the kind of, isn't this all creepy? Isn't this what's going on here? And I think if you took that away, it would be very kind of like, oh, someone just turned to the door and was like, hey, can I sleep down here, please? Oh, yeah, cool. It's also got Kevin Bacon in it, in not a huge role. It was produced by the Obamas.
Oddly. Okay.
So if you look at the reviews, it's got lots of one-star reviews from people who don't like the Obamas, who have all copied and pasted the same.
Nice.
Misspelt negative review. I think the performance is really good. Julia Roberts and Mahershala Ali obviously are both fantastic actors, and they're really good in it. Ethan Hawke also really good. But I think I'd say it's relying very heavily on this, on the music and kind of weird camera angles and stuff, and perhaps doesn't justify it entirely in terms of plot. Like you get to the end, you think, okay, that's what happened. Could have been maybe delved into a bit better. So it's not bad, but I think it probably is setting up more than it pays off.
Okay.
And the other thing I thought I watched was Saltburn, which I'll talk about briefly, which is now on
Ah.
Amazon Prime, and it's
Yes.
both Rosamund Pike and Barry Keoghan. Don't think that's how you pronounce his name. Sorry, Barry. I've got Oscar nominations, Golden Globes nominations. It's about a guy, Barry Keoghan, who is new to Oxford, and he makes friends with a kind of posh guy who lives at a place called Saltburn, and he goes back to stay with him during the holidays. And Rosamund Pike plays his mother. Kerry Mulligan is there as a family friend. Richard E. Grant plays his father. And it's basically setting up a kind of a clash of cultures, so that they're very kind of posh, and he is not. I think again, Rosamund Pike is really good, hilarious. She's got all the best lines. Basically, she's very funny. It's a very black comedy. It's Emma Fennell who did Promising Young Woman.
Yep.
I think it would have been a great film if it hadn't been so desperately trying to be shocking. And
I've read a lot of things about this film. I think everyone has read a lot about things
Well,
about this film.
I mean, I did know some of the stuff. I didn't know all of it. And yeah, there's a handful of scenes that are just, yeah, they're clear, like, oh, look at us, look what we're doing. Isn't this shocking? Aren't you shocked? And like, yeah, just tell a better story. Well, tell a decent story. You don't need to do this.
Yep.
So I think that really kind of, I the first maybe hour, I was like, this is great. And then a few things happened, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of losing interest because you've just lost a lot of the goodwill I had going into this. But my brother, who went to Oxford, had some comments about how they didn't accurately represent the way people eat formal dinner or informal dinner or something. I don't
Okay.
know. I also had some complaints about the mathematician who's there, who apparently is a genius at maths and demonstrates that by asking people to give him really, really large sums to do. That's what we do as a maths
Oh,
degree.
just arithmetic, basically.
And the ending is a. I don't know. I didn't mind it. Simon didn't like it, I think.
What, the naked dancing?
Well, not so much as naked. I mean, there is naked dancing, but there's a kind of a twist ending that I don't think is fully deserved.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just all about the naked dancing in the end.
I mean, to be honest, in the list of shocking things in this film,
That's probably
naked
the
dancing is definitely not in the top two. No, there's two that I won't bring myself to describe on a family podcast.
Why not? I know one involves a bathtub.
I can't think of anything to describe the other one that wouldn't be something I don't want to say on the podcast. So there you go.
Yeah.
If there's
I've not
a
seen the film yet,
PG
so.
cut of it at some point, then I recommend that one. Let's move on, Zijan, to the
Oh, yes.
at the end of our last podcast, I even said to you, you're going to prepare like a 2024 preview, aren't you? And you're like, yes, Colin. It's a 2024 preview where we talk about some films coming up and which ones we're looking forward to.
Hey, give me some credit.
Okay.
I have Wikipedia open right now.
Well done, man. Going the extra mile. I've broken mine up a little bit into Oscar-y things, sequels, and other. So if you talk about Oscar-y things, have you got
Yeah, I mean the
anything that's
first one that's coming out soon will be the Yorgos Lanthimos one, isn't it? That's getting quite good rave reviews.
Poor Things.
Poor Things, yes. I only remember this because I just finished watching the Graham Norton show rather than planning this podcast.
Yeah, right.
And Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo is in it
It's
promoting the
not
film.
even
So,
live. That must have been like a lot in the iPlayer or something, was it?
yeah, it was iPlayer.
Yeah, okay. Are Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo on Graham Norton?
Yeah,
Yeah, I'll check it out. Cool.
it's very good. You see, I've got more important things to do. Anyway, so I
Oh, boy.
mean, Yorgos Lanthimos, for those who don't know, he does some very niche films. And he did The Favourite, which won Olivia Colman the Oscar as well. So yeah, that's one of the Oscar hype films that are coming out early next year.
Yeah, so it's kind of a Frankenstein type story, isn't it? Where
Yes.
I mean, I like Emma Stone a lot. I like Mark Ruffalo a lot. Willem Dafoe's in it. I think if it hadn't been for the director, I'd be looking forward to this a lot. I mean, it's on my list, but I didn't like The Favourite, and I do wonder whether I like this director, but we'll find out. We've got American Fiction here, starring Jeffrey Wright as he's African American, and he is writing some books that basically aren't selling very well. And then at some point, basically writes this really crude pastiche of, I guess, ghetto type language of kind of the stereotypical view of what a black author might write like, and it goes over really well with liberal white America. So it's kind of a satire of,
okay,
I guess, the expectations.
I see where he's
like,
going now.
But it looks really fun from the trailer. Jeffrey Wright, I think Jeffrey Wright's a really good actor, but I've never seen him, I don't think, in something like really, I'm not sure I've even seen him in a leading role, but yeah, I've never heard him talked about in Oscar buzz before, but he's always solid. So it's nice that he's got a meaty part to get into awards contention. So it looks very funny.
I think you should keep going.
Okay.
Only because, you know what? The Wikipedia page only shows American films.
Because they've all come out already.
Exactly.
In America. I've only got a couple more here that I'm particularly interested in. So we've got a film called The Holdovers, which is Alexander Payne, I think. And it looks like a kind of a old school comedy about, I mean, it's the trailer is making it look like it's from the 70s or something, and maybe that's when it sets, but The Holdovers are basically people who don't go home for the holidays. They stay at a boarding school. Well, not boarding. Yeah, it must be boarding school. And I'm trying to, Paul Giamatti is the teacher who has to look after them. I think basically it just boils down to this one kid and him. And from the trailer, it looks like it's kind of wacky funny, but then also quite heartfelt. So I'm in two minds again about this one. I've not loved all of Alexander Payne stuff. But it's getting great reviews. And the other one I've got here is May December. I'm not sure when May December is actually out, but this is Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen this one, have you? Or have you seen the trailer?
I've not seen this one, but they were on the Graham Norton show again a few weeks ago.
This is where all your information is coming from.
That's a very good source of information.
It's a good source, yeah. I'm sure they had all sorts of amusing anecdotes from their time on set.
Yes.
But we're not going to tell you any. So I don't know huge amounts about this one, actually.
I told you, right, last podcast because we announced the Golden Globe nomination. This is Natalie Portman playing, who's an actress who...
Yes, I did see it earlier.
Yeah, who's going to play this teacher who had a relationship with a 16-year-old.
Yeah, so, I think both Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman, obviously Oscar winners. Obviously, they're both Oscar winners, and both very good actresses. So, those are the Oscar-y ones that I'm looking forward to. There's a couple that I've not actually got around to seeing yet, which maybe we'll come on to later, but... let's talk sequels then, Zijian.
Yes.
The big sequels coming out in 2024. What have you got from your Wikipedia?
Inside Out 2 is probably the film that I'm... It's hard because I love Inside Out.
Mm. Where would you put it in your kind of all-time Pixar ranking? Is it right at the top?
Top one, top two maybe.
Is it?
It's one of those few Pixar films that will... always make me cry at the same spot. Without a doubt.
Is it when the childhood imaginary friend thing?
No, it's when she goes home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when she starts thinking about all her sad memories, and then she just finally lets go and cries, and that scene always gets me.
Okay.
Every single time. So Inside Out has a very, very special place in my heart for me. So I'm very, very nervous that they are doing Inside Out 2, because Pixar isn't as good as it used to be.
And the sequels, I mean, Incredibles 2 was okay. I've not seen the Cars or sequels, but the Toy Story sequels, I think there have been some really good ones. So
But I didn't care for Toy Story 4. I thought Toy Story 3 ended where it should have been. Lightyear, remember, happened.
Oh man, I forgot Lightyear. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was horrible. Like, Pixar doesn't have a very good track record now, which is a very weird thing to say, right? Because, like, you know, when we started this podcast, I wouldn't have said something like this. But
although, what was the last one we saw? I thought it was pretty good. I seen everything. It was a good one.
The Elementals one, right?
Oh right, no, I didn't like that one. Oh well, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'm getting confused. Because Soul was very good, but that's going back a few years now. Luca was
Soul was during COVID.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Joker Folie à Deux is coming out. I don't know if it's been confirmed if it's a musical, but that's certainly the The rumor, if it's not confirmed, Lady Gaga is in it as Harlequin or Harley. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I think the first Joker was brilliant. I know, kind of, I think it's kind of split audiences. Some people didn't love it, but I thought I really enjoyed that kind of spin on it. And I'm really pleased they're not just doing it again. They are seeming to go a bit a different way with it. So I'm really excited to see how that one pans out. Hopefully it's a bit quicker now.
That makes sense. And then you have Deadpool 3, which is the film you're most looking forward to this year, right? I mean,
yeah, this is by a mile the one I'm looking forward to most.
Exactly, right? So I thought you would have spoken about this. Yeah, Deadpool 3 is coming out this year. Who knows who's going to show up in Deadpool 3? We've got a list.
Yeah, who knows? I'm avoiding spoilers like the plague. so obviously we know Wolverine's in it, and there have been a couple of leaks, but yeah, I think this is, I've got such high hopes for this, maybe too high. I think it's going to be game changing in terms of the universe, but also I trust them to do a good job with it. First two are great.
Is it the only Marvel film that's coming out this year as well?
Ooh, is it? It might be, I think, because Captain America is 2025.
Yeah.
And in fact, even the TV series, and we've got Echo coming up very soon. And is that it? There must be more than that.
Well, you better be good then.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it will be. I think it will be. It can't be the only one. Maybe they'll rejig the plan. We've also got Gladiator 2, which is interesting. I rewatched the first Gladiator not that long. We didn't do it for a look back in Oscars.
We did. We did.
That was why I thought it was really great. I think it's aged really well. And is it a prequel? I can't remember now. But Paul Mescal's really good.
Yes.
They haven't. What about Russell Crowe? I'm sure they'll bring him back for like a flashback or a dream sequence or something. Or if it's a prequel, then a flash forward. But yeah, I think Ridley Scott these days sometimes good. It is Ridley Scott, isn't it? Is he back?
I think so. Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to see how this one pans out.
Yeah. I'm only watching this because I like Paul Mescal. So
okay.
I think he's going to be good in it.
Mm.
And yeah, I know you think Russell Crowe's going to be in it, but he looks very, very different now.
That's
compared
true.
To
That's true.
What he did in Gladiator. So
the aging time.
Yeah, a lot more than the aging that's been happening.
We've got Paddington in Peru, the third in the Paddington series, which everyone loves the first two Paddington movies, but it's not the same director, so we're kind of maybe.
And there's Kung Fu Panda 4.
Is there really?
Because we all love Kung Fu Panda.
Do we?
No, it's not even my top 10 films beginning with K.
I think it came ninth in the end, didn't it, when you remembered
it? Yeah, I remembered it. But yeah, I saw the trailer for this. The enemy now is a chameleon.
All right. Mm-hmm. Like in Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah-ish.
Okay. We've also got Karate Kid, which I think is a sequel.
But it's a different kind of...
Maybe a double sequel or something?
Yeah.
Who knows? Those are all the sequels. I'm sure there are more, but those are the only ones I had listed. Yep. So it's time to go for other. And I've got a few interesting ones here. Let's go for Argyle. Have you seen the trailer for Argyle?
No. It's a Henry Cavill film. Right?
Henry Cavill, that's right. It looks fascinating. what's his name? It's the guy behind Kingsman, isn't it? Matthew Vaughn.
Yes. Yes.
And it's... Basically, it seems to be telling a story of like international super spy, but also the author who is writing the books that he's in, but also that's really happening somewhere. It's kind of layers upon layers, but it looks just from that trailer. I mean, maybe it's just a really well cut trailer, I don't know, but it looks really cool. Obviously, a new property. I don't know if it's based on anything, but Matthew Vaughn, I trust generally, and I'm excited by that one.
There is The Fall Guy that's coming out with Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Where Ryan Gosling plays a stunt actor for Aaron Taylor Johnson, basically. And I saw the trailer for that, and that looks quite fun as well. So,
yeah, it looks very broad. Mm-hmm. But, I think I think all a great cast. Could be a lot of fun. Really fun. There's a film called Self-Reliance, which hasn't actually got a UK release date yet. It's coming out on Hulu in America relatively shortly, I think. But I don't know. Which generally means Disney Plus in this country, but I've not seen anything confirming that. And this is a film starring Jake Johnson and Anna Kendrick, which I think might be being directed by Jake Johnson as well.
Okay.
And it's basically, I did see a trailer, so I remember exactly what happened. Basically, people are trying to kill Jake Johnson. I think he's taken part in a kind of weird game show where he wins money.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah, but he can only be killed when he's alone. So it's basically, and he's one of many, I think Anna Kendrick's also a contestant.
Yes.
So basically, the setup is they can't spend, well, they're spending all their time together to avoid being alone, to avoid being killed, which I think it looks like a lot of fun. Jake Johnson, I think, does some really interesting stuff. I mean, he's still best known for New Girl, probably. He's in the Jurassic World films as well, or at least one of them. But also, he's done a lot of lower budget stuff. So there's something called Fly the Eagle or something like that I saw last year, which was good, and Digging for Fire. So I'm.
He was in Tag.
Yes, Tag as well, yeah. I think he's a very funny actor, but also does some kind of interesting lower budget stuff, and this seems to be kind of hitting the sweet spot. So I really hope he gets a UK release.
A few musicals coming out next year. Wicked Part 1.
Oh, I forgot that was coming out.
Will be out next year, directed by John M. Chu, who did In the Heights, which we both love.
Yep.
But yeah, who knows how this would fare. Splitting a musical into two is always ambitious. Because musicals don't really have big audiences anyway, as we all know. Both In the Heights and Steven Spielberg's West Side Story were both box office bombs. So it'd be quite interesting to see splitting it up.
Will it get a part two?
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be interesting. You and I are both looking forward to watching Mean Girls.
Yep.
It's coming out early next year.
Yeah.
The musical is coming in July next year as well in London. Not next year, this year. Yeah, July this year.
Is it?
In London. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Let's go. There's a film called Civil War that's coming out, which is not to be confused with our first ever podcast episode, which was on Captain America Civil War. And I'm just looking up who's directing it, and it's Alex Garland. It stars Kirsten Dunst, among others. It's basically a civil war in the USA. I think it's a kind of imagined future, or maybe it's an imagined current time, I'm not sure, where Texas and California have teamed up against the rest of the USA, which, if you know where the states are, it's bad news for Arizona, I think.
Okay.
It's A24. It looks like when they're getting into bigger budget stuff. Alex Garland does some really interesting things, and the trailer looks really fun.
Jesse Plemons is in it as well. Husband-wife team again.
Yeah, they're back together after... off their work in that cowboy thing that I can't remember.
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Anyway, whatever that was called. Yes. I think from the trailer, it looks like Jesse Plemons maybe doesn't have as big a role as some, but he's so good. Jesse Plemons. So, and he looks like he's going to be good in this as well. So that's coming out in April in the USA. And
cool.
Probably around the same time here.
All right, I'm not going to pretend that I'm looking forward to seeing any of the rest of these films because I haven't seen the trailers for them all.
Okay.
I don't even know what they are now.
Fair enough. I've only got...
Oh, Rebel Moon Part 2 is coming out.
You're not watching Rebel Moon Part 2,
surely.
No, I've
not even seen the first one.
I've only got a couple more. Priscilla looks interesting. I think it's Sofia Coppola. It's telling the story of Priscilla Presley.
Yeah.
Obviously, was it 2022 was Elvis and we both didn't like it. If I remember rightly, I certainly didn't. This is the other side of the story. So Priscilla Presley was 14 when they met, and I don't think it's going to shy away from pointing out that that's kind of weird. And there's also a film I think is actually coming out today as we record. So by the time this podcast comes out, it will already be in cinemas. It's called One Life. It's a British film. It's a biopic of Nicholas Winton, who was a guy, I think he was Czech. Oh no, he was British. He was British, but he was rescued a lot of Jewish children from the Nazis in the Second World War. So it's he's been played by Anthony Hopkins in I say present day. Actually, I think it might be set in the 90s at that point. But as an older man, he's played by Anthony Hopkins, and as a younger man, played by Johnny Flynn, who I know best for as playing Mr. Knightley in the Anya Taylor-Joy version of Emma, but he's done a few things. There's a famous clip that kind of did the rounds of the internet where, and this is in the trailer, so they're going to kind of recreate this, where Nicholas Winton is on this TV show sitting in the front row, and then Esther Ranson, who's presenting it, says, "Can you stand up if your life was saved by this man?" And then basically the whole audience stands up. It's very moving.
Okay.
And I'm sure it'll be very moving on film. What's the reception? 89% on Rotten Tomatoes so far.
Oh, good. Sounds good.
That's all I've got.
Hey, look, I did quite well, right?
You held your own, Dejan.
You thought that I haven't done any research altogether.
No one will know. let's do a look back at Oscar now, shall we? Let's skip around a bit. Where we always look at a film that has won the Best Picture Oscar. This is the last time we're doing it, of course. And Zijian, which film have we chosen?
We chose the first winner of Best Picture, Wings.
Tell us about Wings.
So it's a silent and synchronized sound film. I think it's known as the only fully silent film to win Best Picture. I had to look this up because I thought the artist was also silent, but I think because he said something right at the end,
word,
it doesn't count.
Yeah. I think he says thank you at the end maybe or something.
Yeah, and then it doesn't count anymore. So, okay, fine, I guess. The film stars Clara Bow, Bow, Charles Rogers and Richard Arlen. So Rogers and Arlen portray World War One combat pilots in a romantic rivalry over a woman. And surprise, surprise, the woman isn't Clara Bow.
No, it's the other girl who looks like the same as her.
Yes, Sylvia.
It's basically two identical looking men fighting over two identical looking women.
The thing. It was in black and white. It took me a while to figure out who was who. So it was directed by William A. Wellman. He was the only director in Hollywood at the time who had World War One combat pilot experience. So back then, to direct a film, you kind of need to have experience in that film leading up to it. Can you imagine doing that now?
They also got rid of that before they made Cleopatra. I struggled with this film, I'll be honest. There's a reason that we don't make silent movies anymore. They're difficult to watch. Maybe you'll disagree, but I struggled to get into it. I kind of lost interest as it went on, and it's like, okay, these First World War fighter pilot scenes, I think, were groundbreaking for their day, but
not anymore.
Yeah, I can be impressed by what they managed to achieve in 1927, but it doesn't make me interested in seeing it.
Yep, so. I get your point. From my point of view as well, like, I particularly do not care for films which features aerial combat. Like, I've seen Top Gun.
Yes.
Original Top Gun. I did not like Top Gun, especially the aerial fight scenes. Those were the worst bits of Top Gun. I just couldn't figure out what's happening. Like, oh, okay, they spin around and they spend so much time focusing on airplanes. I'm like, okay, is that supposed to be cool?
There's not enough volleyball in this film.
I would appreciate more volleyball in the film. It's just like, it's hard to see the action.
I didn't really care about anyone in this film.
Did you not care about Clara Bow, who was so in love with this?
I mean, it was quite funny, but I don't know. I think maybe any film that, in fairness, I like The Artist, but any film that's like this, where they have a conversation, and then you cut to a screen saying what they've said, and then you cut back, I just find that very difficult to get engrossed in the film, because it just takes me out of the film every 5 seconds.
This film needs an editor as well. A lot of the scenes went on for far too long. I particularly did not care for the drunken scene. That went on for way, way, way too long.
Although we got the song "I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles,"
that is true.
That was something. Did you watch the 140 something minute cut or the 111 minute cut? I think
140th minute. Yeah, I think I can find 111th minute anywhere.
I don't think it's available. No, I think that's the. So I don't know what they added back in. Maybe just more bubbles.
Lots of bubbles.
When I come to list all the Oscar winning films in order of preference, I mean, I think we both know what's last.
We are. It's the same one. It has not changed.
But I think this might be second last.
I think I'm going to struggle to list that. I told you it would be a good idea, but I think somewhere in the middle, I'll start losing my way and having to like, maybe I should rewatch this again or not.
In fairness, I'm not going to make this list, but I think if I did, those would be the bottom two.
Yeah.
it's Ballad of Tom Jones, if no one else remembers. Was it just called Tom Jones, the film?
It's Tom Jones.
There you go, Look Back on Oscar. And I would say What's the Actor Factor next time, but there isn't going to be one, Zijin. We're done. Which means, you know what it's time for?
It's the Coddies time.
It's not the Coddies, that's something else.
What?
The Coddies is a thing I did on my blog.
Are we not doing Coddies here on this podcast at all?
We're doing the T2Z Awards.
Oh, okay.
It's never been called the Cod.
Is it not? No. This is the point where I'm like, oh, thank you for putting my name in this award, even though I did absolutely no work on it.
Yeah, well, as ever, I'll rope you in for a couple of them.
Okay.
Usually there are 10, Zijin, usually there are 10, but this year I did 12 because it's the last one, so why not? Mm-hmm. This is going to be a long episode for you to edit, I'm afraid.
That's fine.
So the first award in CZ Awards this year is for the worst chemistry. Worst chemistry of the year. In fourth place, we have Lily James and Shahzad Latif from the film What's Love Got to Do With It? I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did. It's not great.
Next up is Rachel Zegler and Jack Dylan Grazer from Shazam Fury of the Gods. The chemistry in itself wasn't terrible. It's just the fact that she's several thousand years old and he's like 15 or something.
Yes. I mean, what's his appeal to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Icky.
I don't get it.
In any other year, I think this next one would have won. It's Ashton Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon in Your Place or Mine. So devoid of chemistry that they make them spend most of the film apart. It's horrendous. I think so. Any other year that we win, but the winner of worst chemistry is Ezra Miller and Ezra Miller for The Flash.
Well, in his defense,
yes,
he doesn't have anyone to read off of.
No, I can't imagine anyone else wanted to be on set. So that's worst chemistry. Next up is worst physics. It's Oppenheimer because they blew up a bomb.
Okay,
you see what I've done there? Chemistry, physics. Yes. Great gag. Anyway,
what's biology? Is this salt burn again?
Oh man, I didn't put that in, but yes, it is. Number three is the returning award. It's the best film I didn't get round to seeing, and this is where I will also ask you to give your nominations once. Once I've had a bit, give you a bit of time to think.
I know what mine is.
Oh yeah, go for them.
I still haven't seen Oppenheimer.
Have you not?
No.
Oh wow, okay. Then yes, that's the Oppenheimer. Mine, Anatomy of a Fall is down there. A lot of people said that was very good. Napoleon isn't number two. But the winner is Past Lives, a film I've heard is fantastic, but I've not yet got
around. Oh, that's watching. The one with Greta Lee, I think.
Is that right?
Korean film.
Mm. You haven't seen it? No.
No, I've not seen it.
No, but apparently it's great. So there is a history in this one of the film I think is apparently going to be great. I get around to watching it and it's not as good as I was hoping, so we'll see. Award number four in the CZ Awards is the award for the most pointless recasting of someone to an actress called Newton.
That's very specific.
It's a first time award. In second place, it's the character of Cassie Lang that was recast from Emma Furman in Avengers Endgame to Catherine Newton in Ant-Man 3. Why bother recasting her first time if you're not going to keep the actress?
Yep.
So I would say. But beaten this year by Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget, where Julia Sohala was recast as Tandaway Newton.
Yes.
Why did they do that, Zijin?
I have no idea.
Right? They said it's because her voice had changed because of the passing 23 years. But it's like, well, yeah, but didn't Tandaway Newton's voice is also different to what her voice sounded like. Very strange. I mean, and who's flocking to Netflix to watch this, no pun intended, because Tandaway Newton's in it? Mad. Award number five is the Was That Bradley Cooper Award. In third place, it's Bradley Cooper in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Okay.
Because he was like, at what point did he stop being like Baby Rocket and start being Young Rocket?
Okay.
In second place, it's Maestro.
Yep.
Where he played Leonard Bernstein, but with a prosthetic nose. You're like, is that Bradley Cooper? But first place goes to Bradley Cooper for the film Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves, when he just suddenly turned up as a very small person.
Ah.
And he was like, is that Bradley Cooper?
okay.
Well done, Bradley Cooper, for winning those. The sixth award, halfway through, rattling through these. Sixth award is for the best advert masquerading as a film. In fifth place, it's a Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yep.
In fourth place, it's a film, in fairness, I haven't seen, which is Tetris. Not the Tetris movie we were all hoping for, but
that's the Tara Edgerton film, right?
Tara Edgerton, How I Made Tetris movie.
Yeah.
Third place, it's Barbie.
Yeah, I mean, that's a product placement if there was one.
Wall to wall. But only in third because it was also a very popular movie.
Okay, so it needs to be a bad movie.
Number two, again, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the trailer way too many times. It's Gran Turismo.
Okay, yep.
A film where they play the computer game but also race cars in real life.
Uh-huh, yep.
Yeah. But the winner, controversial because I think it's actually not a bad film, is the film Air.
Oh, the Air Jordans.
Where it's just like, here's how we made a shoe. And look at that shoe. Isn't it great? Such a great shoe. They don't buy this shoe. Did you see Air?
No.
It's all right, but they're really bang on about that shoe.
I mean.
The seventh award in CZ Awards, it's a returning award. It's one of our favourite awards, the Anna Kendrick You Should Fire Agent Award.
Wonder who it'll be.
I will just put in a word for Anna Kendrick, because it's not going to come up anywhere else. Alice Darling was really good. She was really good at it. Fair play to her. She should keep her agent, is what I'm saying. There's only two nominations here. Second place goes to Chris Evans, who made two films this year.
Okay. Well,
which were Ghosted and Pain Hustlers. And Pain Hustlers I thought was all right, but he wasn't very good in it. And Ghosted was just like, is this a real film? Or is it just a bunch of famous actors who have gathered together?
I feel like that's the case now for a lot of this post-superhero spit.
What's he supposed to do with himself? Yeah, exactly. He didn't win, though, because he was in Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, which I loved. So the winner, in fact, in a similar position... it's Gal Gadot, who spent her year doing uncredited cameos. Can you name the three films that Gal Gadot had uncredited cameos in this in 2023?
Shazam 3.
Well, Shazam 2, but yeah.
Shazam 2? Yeah. Was it uncredited in Shazam 2?
Apparently.
The Flash?
Yes.
And what was the last one?
It's Fast X, apparently.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Aquaman. Was she an Aquaman?
I don't know.
Probably is, so give her four.
Give her four, she probably is. And she also made the film Heart of Stone, which I saw and remember very little of. Which again felt very much like, is this real? Award number eight. The best film where the lead character in a long-running franchise has half of a mystical pseudo-scientific MacGuffin and is trying to track down the other half, all the while being on and off betrayed by a British woman who is new to the franchise. It's a new award season.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. I'll say it again. The best film where the lead character in a long-running franchise has half a mystical pseudo-scientific MacGuffin and is trying to track down the other half, all the while being on and off betrayed by a British woman who is new to the franchise. Second place is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Yep, of course.
But the winner is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I think I said this when we did the review, but they do have the same plot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Award number 9 for the movie that I bet you forgot Mark Strong was in.
Okay.
Let's see if you forgot if Mark Strong was in the news. Did you remember that he was in the film Murder Mystery 2?
Yeah, I watched Murder Mystery 2.
He was in fairness, like, quite a large part in Murder Mystery 2. Second place, did you remember that he was in Shazam Fury of the Gods?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. What did he do in that?
He is not. Oh, hold on. He was in the original Shazam.
He was in the original Shazam, yes.
Yeah, he was. He's the bad guy.
Did you remember he turned up in a post-credit scene of Shazam 2, which is basically exactly the same as the post-credit scene for Shazam 1, where the little caterpillar thing was like, I'm coming soon, mate.
No, definitely not.
No. But the winner, edging that out, was the film Tar.
I've not seen Tar yet.
I have seen Tar. I don't remember him in it. Even having made this list, I don't remember what he did in it. So, there you go. It's the winner for the best movie. Yeah, I bet you forgot Mark Strong was in. But since you only saw one of those three movies, that seems...
Yep.
It's a returning award 10 for the Huntsman Winter's War Award for the movie that no one wanted to see. One of my favorite awards. Because I just can't, it's been 8 years maybe. I still can't get over the fact that they made Huntsman Winter's War.
Well,
I just can't get over it, Zisha. Other people have left it behind. Third place, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm sorry, the Big Fat Greek Wedding franchise, but why did you think?
Yeah.
In second place, Expendables 4.
Well, I mean, a lot of these are basically actors who aren't getting any other jobs doing what, you know.
Yeah, although...
Well, I worked in the first place.
Expendables 4 was weird because the trailer was like, hey, here's this fun Jason Statham, Megan Fox film. Oh, by the way, it's Expendables 4. You're like, what? Or I should say, Expend4Balls.
Of course it is.
But the winner is the post-credit scene of Transformers Rise of the Beasts, where apparently, I haven't seen it, apparently they set up the fact that G.I. Joe is in the same world as this.
Ah, nice.
Who cares, Zijian? Who cares about G.I. Joe?
Well, apparently some people
do. I don't think they do.
Yeah, they do.
Award 11, I think we've done this one before, is for Best Cameo. Quite a few to choose from here. In fifth place, it's maybe controversial, it's George Clooney in The Flash.
Okay.
You okay with
that? You say he's the best thing in The Flash then?
I would say he's the best thing in The Flash. There are quite a few cameos. Hmm. I'm really sad that I knew this was going to happen already, because it would have been a great...
I didn't.
Did you not? Hmm. How did it feel when you saw it?
Yeah.
Okay. Number four, it's Rob Brydon playing Sugar Daddy Ken in Barbie.
Rob Brydon was in The Graham Norton Show as well.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
With Mark Ruffalo and Emma Stone.
Did you talk about Barbie?
Yes.
Nice. Number three, unsurprising for people who know the podcast, it's Hayley Steinfeld at the end of The Marvels, bringing back Kate Bishop, setting up a young Avengers movie.
Well, it's good that they haven't forgotten about her. Yeah. Sometimes it feels like they have not forgotten about everyone.
Yeah. I was very excited by that. Number two, you have seen Roy Lane, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. The Colin Firth cameo in Roy Lane was a lot of fun. And it's nice to see Colin Firth.
Oh, yes. I forgot he was selling,
sandwiches or something, was it?
Sandwiches, yeah.
And just turned up. He's called Colin in the film. Never explain. He's just there. What was it called? It was a pun on Love, actually, but I can't remember what it was called. Anyway. But the winners, Ijan, I chose one per film. It's unsurprising that my favourite film of the year, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which was wall-to-wall cameos at various points, is the winner. What do you think I've chosen as the best cameo of the year from Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse?
Do I know this?
I don't know. I mean, you've got some options. You've got a...
Hold on. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the film now. Because, they had a lot of live action.
You had the voice of Alfred Molina. You had the voice of J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. They got a lot of live action ones as well.
We saw Donald Glover in there.
So many. I don't know.
It's the still image of Kirsten Dunst that appears on the screen at one point, bringing MJ back into the Spider-Man world.
Yes, I remember now.
I think we can all agree it was the best cameo of the year.
Yes.
Final award in CZ Awards, the last ever CZ Awards, is for Snub of the Year. And there are seven nominees here.
Okay.
Now, the first one, which is why it's seventh, involves some conjecture on my part.
Okay.
In fact, a few of them do, but this one more than most. So I think the Colin Firth cameo in Roy Lane, which was the second best cameo of the year, was almost certainly offered to Hugh Grant first. Surely. And so I'm saying seventh snub of the year is Hugh Grant turning down Roy Lane and working on Wonka, which apparently he hated doing.
That is some conjecture.
That is some conjecture. Strap in. The next one is similar. Sylvester Stallone toning down Creed 3 in order to do nothing much in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yep.
Again, the connection between toning down one and doing the other, maybe not.
I mean, we knew that Sylvester Stallone had trouble with the Creed people anyway.
Yes, he definitely turned that down on the basis of the story. Yeah, and he doesn't like the producer as well. Next one, it's the last one that's similar. Dwayne Johnson turning down, in fact, refusing to do Shazam 2 and also refusing to let anyone else from Black Adam do Shazam 2 just so that he could come crawling back to Fast X after Black Adam blew up.
Ugh. Yeah, let's move on. Yeah.
Fourth place, the Shia LaBeouf's character being killed off screen in the Indiana Jones franchise. What a snub for Shia LaBeouf. third place, and this maybe is a little personal, but the Oscars snubbing Banshees of Inisherin by not giving it any Oscars at all, despite the fact it was the best film of last year. Should have won Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Screenplay, Best Film. I know you.
We can agree to disagree.
Yeah, I just can't believe. I mean, Brendan Fraser, who's not coming from this list, but I can't believe that he beat Colin Farrell. Rather, anyway. Second place, though, goes to me for not watching Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
I have not watched it either.
There you are. We can both share this award.
Yes.
I really thought I might, but no, just don't want to watch it. But Zijian, you actually are the winner of this award, as you always
win. I knew I was going to win an award anyway, so yep. I was looking forward to it.
Yes. You are winning this award for not choosing a 10th film beginning with the letter K, despite the fact that you'd seen Killers of the Flower Moon in the last episode before that. What a snub from Martin Scorsese.
And honestly, I will stand by it.
There you go. It's the last of the CZ Awards we're done. Well done, all the winners, including you, Zijian, as ever.
Thank you.
You know what it's time for?
Our last, well, it's not true, because there's a lot of quizzes coming up.
There are a lot of quizzes coming up. Yeah. If you like a quiz, tune in to episode 200, where it's 9 quizzes.
Yeah, quiz galore.
Yeah. But this is the last time we're quizzing each other.
Yes.
We're quizzing each other.
Ever again.
Ever again.
We'll never see each other again, Colin, after this. Actually, I'm seeing you in like 3 weeks' time, actually.
Yes, but we're not going to ask each other any questions.
No, we can't. We can't anymore. Can't do it. This is the end of it.
We're quizzing each other very seldom, darling, as I say, on the first ever C to Z of Movies episode.
Listening to this is like full on nostalgia, man. Like, it's... We were so bad.
We've come a long way. Well, maybe we haven't, by the way.
I said in a podcast that I'm looking forward to watching X-Men Armageddon.
Apocalypse, I think. But yes, you're excited by that one. Yeah. It was weird, like, was it 7 years ago or 7.5 years ago? And all these kind of things we were talking about that are coming up. Yeah, sometimes with more hope than was justified. So did you listen back to the whole episode?
Yeah, we did. I did.
Yeah, me too.
We were so young and innocent.
So we were so young, barely 30 at that point.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll do it. Question one for you for the last time. Not really, that's not true. But I did not watch the premiere for Civil War because what was the last premiere showing that I watched?
Oh, yes. You said you couldn't watch it because you're too old. You didn't want to stay up till whatever time in the morning.
Yeah, the last one I did meet was really bad.
Was it... I was about to say a film that didn't even come out until after that. I think it might have been a Spider-Man. Was it Amazing Spider-Man?
No, it was X-Men First Class. This was when I was in AXA working... Alexa. Yeah,
I'd forgotten that bit. Question one for you. In the first episode, we both talked about upcoming TV series, just in that we haven't quite found our niche yet. And we both announced ones that are coming up. Mine was the Wheel of Time series.
Yes.
Which Netflix series did you announce with the explanation, it's about rabbits?
Watership Down.
Did that ever happen?
At least the Wheel of Time did happen. And it was so weird to listen to the whole Wheel of Time thing because I've now read the whole Wheel of Time series and to talk about that without...
I'd forgotten that you hadn't read it at that point, yeah.
And I was... Time flies, right? Time flies. Yeah. Question two. In the first podcast, You've mentioned two statements of mine that are exclusive to that podcast. Because they're quite bad. Yeah, as I said, we started off very poorly. Why was this very boring statements, matter of fact statements that
oh man, I can't.
You sarcastically caught exclusives.
I can't for life remember. Let's see if I can. I know, sorry, I listened to it a few days ago. I remember doing it. I just remember, don't remember what it was about. Was it? It's going to be something really boring, like
yes.
really I don't was. Know, like Marvel have got a film coming out next year or something.
Yeah, one is someone was munching popcorn beside me while watching Civil War, and the second one, the film Pete's Dragon has a dragon called Pete in it.
Brilliant. Question to you. Now, I still stand by this for what it's worth. What line appeared in two trailers did I say that I'd never like to hear ever again?
That's forget everything you think you know.
Yes, well done.
Because that's what my question three is.
All right.
Yeah, what movie line quote do you say you never want to hear someone say ever again?
Yeah, forget everything you think you know.
Yeah.
Okay, after 13 minutes of the first podcast, we had the first mention of which common recurring C to Z reference?
Ooh. Oh, and I know this, because I, 13 minutes, I know this because I did recall while listening to this, like saying, oh wow, this has been mentioned multiple times off since then. Well done us for actually thinking ahead so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember now. What is it?
It's the fact that you're slightly older than me.
Ah, yes, that's right.
Although you brought it up, this I think it might be the last time you brought it up. It's been me ever since. But
I was so young in it. Question four. Name. So we did a lot of name dropping back then as well.
We did.
Yeah. And it was quite annoying, I think, to a certain
point. We might have pushed it too hard, yeah.
In the first few podcasts, we were just saying, oh, they may be listening to this show, they may be listening to this show.
Yeah.
So in the first one, for example, name the three celebrities you say are going to listen to the show. Yeah, we did. As I said, it wasn't a very good first one.
Now, one of them was definitely Alicia Vikander.
Yes.
Because I think I also asked her to call me.
Yes, that's definitely true.
An optimism in my youth. That
it's because you didn't share your phone number on the podcast.
Well, that's true. She was desperate and I couldn't do it. What were the other two? I'm also a bit annoyed that I've actually made a reference to Barry Keoghan listening to in this podcast. So I've clearly not changed. No, I'm not going to know this time. I think they must have been related to the news sections.
One of them, it was in Civil War. One of the guys
was it? Martin Freeman, maybe?
Yes. That's right. And one more is also in Civil War.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They're British.
Is it Tom Holland?
Yay!
Fantastic. Okay. Is that two all now? I started counting. Yeah. Question four for you. This might give away how I got some of those. I said that one British actor had a terrible US accent and another one had a great US accent. Can you name both those actors?
The one with Martin Freeman's the one with a terrible accent. And the one with a great accent. It has to be Tom Holland, right?
It does have to be Tom Holland, yes, correct.
Yeah. Finally, the last question is, according to you, Colin.
Oh, yeah.
Which Jim Carrey film is the most offensive, one of the most offensive mainstream comedies of all time?
Oh, wow.
First Actor Factor.
It was Me, Myself, and Irene.
That's correct. Yes.
Well, it's three all, Zijan, and this is your question to win the last ever quiz. That we're quizzing each other. And I think it's appropriate that I ask you the first question that I ever asked you in a C2Z Movies quiz.
Yeah.
I asked you to name which year The Jungle Book, the book itself, was published, and I gave you 5 years either way. You got it wrong. In fact, very wrong. But can
Isn't
you
that wrong, to be fair?
Can you give me the correct answer?
1894.
Yeah, in fairness, I say you're very wrong. I cut you off after 19.
Exactly, because I could have been just
You could have been 1 year out. You could have been. Well done, Zijan. That means you have won this last ever quiz. How does it feel?
It feels weird, man.
Yeah.
It feels weird to say that this is the last one. But, I mean, just talking about what we did and Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit in our next podcast anyway, but listening to our first podcast again has been good.
We'll save our nostalgia fest till next time. So tune in to listen to 9 people quizzing us and us crying for an hour or so. we'll see you then.
Bye.